Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. A lot going on with spring sports, postseason coming up for baseball. We're going to be joined by Kevin Bohannon, going to fill us in on the latest with the Diamond Hogs. And we're going to talk NBA Draft Combine, what's going on there, and some recruiting rankings have been redone for basketball. We'll talk about what that means. You know, we're going to talk about football, and we're going to have Danny West on to talk the latest in Razorback football recruiting. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive Team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one today at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive Team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane Team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane Team. Visit craneteam.com.
73 prospects were invited to the NBA Draft Combine. Four of them are Razorbacks. That's a lot. Darius Acuff, we know he was 6'2", barefoot, which falls in line with where he was, you know, listed. I think he was listed at 6'3", at Arkansas, so a barefoot height at 6'2", that's about right. So that kind of shuts down any of the talk that he's only 6 foot tall. Sometimes a guy's a little bit stalkier, but maybe doesn't look as tall as he actually is. 6'7", wingspan, though, so you say stalky, but he's got long arms at the same time, and 8'2.5", standing reach. His max vertical, I could list the no-step vertical, which is 31.5, which I guess matters, but for the most part, guys aren't just staying like planted in their feet, though it is a measure of explosion they use for football. But his max vertical, 36.5. He tied for first with a 3.02nd time in the three-quarter sprint. We'll talk about who he tied with. His other numbers weren't just outstanding. You know, right middle of the pack, shuttle run, pro lane drill, his max vertical and his no-step vertical, pretty much in the middle of the pack in all those categories. Where he really stood out was the spot-up three-point shooting. 19 of 25 at 76%, which was tied for second overall. You guys remember when he was a recruit and we were talking like, yeah, he's really good, but he's not a great three-point shooter. And I remember talking with my buddy Bo, who with Biddle Armstrong, we were sitting there in the stands one day. I can't remember what game, maybe Auburn or something. I can't remember what game it was. But we were just like, you know, he's a good shooter. You know, Malik Thomas is an assassin. Acuff isn't really that. And I think Acuff went on to knock down 5 threes that day and was just lights out the rest of the year, really. The three-point star, he was 13 of 25, 52%. That's tied for 25th. Again, 73 players invited. I'm not sure if 73 ended up going, but I would assume they did. But the star is basically like, you know, you get a couple from the corner, you get a couple from, you know, the wing, and a couple from, you know, straight on. So that's kind of, they call that the star. So that's 3-point star, off dribble, 24-30, 80%,
tied for sixth.
7-10 for free throw, not a great from the free throw line, 70%. So good numbers overall for Acuff. Definitely has not hurt himself at all. Malik Thomas was a little bit shorter at 6'3 barefoot, 6'6 and 3/4 wingspan, 84-inch standing reach. Max vertical was 38 inches. Good max vertical for him. That was tied for 22nd. Nothing else, you know, just jumps out of the board, pretty much middle of the pack. Pro lane drill, he was kind of in the back end, which was 11.57. Spot up 3-point shooting, 14 of 25, 56%, tied for 25th. Thought he would do better there. His 3-point star was 52%, tied for 25th. Off dribble threes was 73.3%. which was tied for 13th. So that was really good. His free throw, he went 10 for 10. Good free throw shooting for Malik Thomas. Billy Richmond. Here's the fear if you're a Razorback fan with Billy Richmond, is that NBA scouts are going to love him for the reasons that we love him, because his hustle, he's just got a motor that never quits. You know, he was taller than he's, you know, than expected. He was 6'5 3/4, which, he's listed at 6'6", so usually you see that as 6'7 on a college roster. 6'8 wingspan, 8'5 standing reach. His max vertical was 41 inches, which tied for 7th. 3-4-quarter sprint, 3.06, tied with Darius Acuff for 1st at the combine. Shuttle run, 2.82, 12th. His pro lane dip drill, 10.23, 1st. These are all the things that we knew about Billy Richmond, is he's just got that motor, you know. But his 3-point star was 17 of 25, 68%, which tied for 6th at the combine. Didn't expect that. Spot up three was pretty good, 13 of 25, 52%, right in the middle. Off dribble, 19 of 30, 63.3%, tied for 31st. He was 8 of 10 from the free throw line, and his side, mid side, was 13 of 26, 50%, tied for 35th. So the one thing that jumped out was that his 3-point star, 68%, tied for 6th at the combine. We don't think of him as like this great 3-point shooter. He hasn't been that. So good for him showing out there. I don't know if it's good for Arkansas. I mean, it is, and the fact that you want to see guys get drafted in the first round, be able to talk to recruits, hey, you know, look at how many guys we had drafted in the first round. His day one scrimmage, he was 8 points. Acuff didn't participate in the scrimmage, neither is Malik Thomas. But his day one scrimmage, he had 8 points on 3 of 9 field goals, including 1 of 3 from 3-point range, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 block, 3 turnovers, and 4 fouls in 20 minutes and 42 seconds of action. So an okay scrimmage overall. The other scrimmage, the scrimmage 2, which will be on NBA TV, that was on ESPN. Everything's been on ESPN 2 so far, but day 2 scrimmage will be at 1 o'clock today. So here in just a little bit, you'll be able to watch that if you have NBA TV. And last but not least, Trevin Brazil, 6'9½ barefoot, good height there, measured out, 225, 7'3¾ wingspan, 9'1 standing reach. His max vertical was 41.5 inches, that tied for 5th out of everybody there. His no-step vertical was 36, which was 3rd. 3-quarter sprint, tied for 10th at 3.14 seconds. Shuttle run, 2.71, which was 4th, and his pro lane drill was 10.84, which is 20th. Good numbers all the way around there for Trevin Brazil. Shot well from spot up 3, 14 of 25, 56%. That was 25th. His star was 12 of 25, 48%, right in the middle of the pack at 35th. His off dribble was 15 of 30, 50%, a little bit on the back end at 53%. His free throw, 8 of 10. 5 for 27th, 80%. Side, mid-side was 13 of 28, 46.4%, which was tied for 48th. He had 9 points in the scrimmage on 3 of 5 field goals, 0 for 1 on 3-point, 3 of 4 from free throw, 6 boards, 1 block, 3 turnovers, 2 fouls, and 27-10 of action. Again, the next scrimmage is today. Okay. That pretty much gets you caught up there. Obviously, we're waiting to find out. We know Darius Acuff is gone. We know Trevin Brazil's out of eligibility. We're waiting to see what happens with Malik Thomas and Billy Richmond. The thought is, if you're a first-round pick, you're likely gone. Although we've seen guys in college who are projected first round picks who are coming back to college because the money, the money is competing with the NBA now, which is pretty wild. Most mock drafts since the lottery took place, most mock drafts seem to have Darius Acuff going to Brooklyn at number 6. One has him, Kevin O'Connor has him going number 7 to Sacramento. Malik Thomas is anywhere from second round as high as 23 to Atlanta. Billy Richmond is as high as 35 to San Antonio to undrafted by Adam Finkelstein. And Trevin Brazil is as high as 45 to Sacramento and as low as going in the second round. So it's possible that all four guys, you know, the two guys stay in the draft who are you know, up in the air, and that four guys get drafted. And it's even possible, it doesn't look like Brazil is in any first round draft mocks or Billy Richmond, but Malik Thomas and Darius Acuff both could possibly be first round picks right now. Four mock drafts have Malik Thomas going in the first round and only one in the second. Arkansas basically has 6 players right now on the roster who are, like, you look at it and say, like, these are really good players who are going to contribute. You know, who knows on Isaiah Seely or Samito, like, if they make big leaps or something. But 6 guys that we know that are proven or are super highly regarded recruits coming in. So there's still room for a big man. I've heard different things on that. One guy saying they're working like hell to find a guy, and, you know, all these other teams are just throwing out money for a big. Some people say Cal doesn't want to mess with you know, some of the egos out there. I've heard that, and I've also heard they're not really that worried about it. And maybe a reason they're not worried about it is because of where things stand right now with the rankings. Maybe that's why. You know, that's definitely possible. Hey, before we get in any further, I'm just going to play a quick clip here of Ryan Silverfield. Ryan Silverfield is on the All In Road Show, and we caught up with him in Little Rock. Here's a quick clip.
That's my night off, spending tonight with you guys and our great fans. But yeah, and then our coach is still on the road recruiting from the spring ball, and then our players will return from their break. You know, they had exams and then obviously on a couple week break, and then back for summer strength and conditioning, which we're excited to get them back in the building. The football staff will be busy with official visits on the weekends and getting after it.
So I think both quarterbacks that are in the competition, right? I think we know it's probably a 2-man race right now between KJ and AJ. So what we did is we laid out, say, hey, here's what we need to see going through training camp in order for one of you guys to separate. They each have almost a laundry list of things, a checklist. Hey, I want to improve upon this. Not a whole lot of downtime. We're, you know, the guys will obviously be in the summer workouts, right, within the weight room, and then also running, right? Obviously, we're limited with what we can do with them. We're doing some jog through, walkthroughs, and when time's allowed, and then kind of building up a plan for training camp and make sure we're on the same page for that. Obviously, a lot of official visits in the month of June, late May through June, and then kind of build this thing up. And then next thing you know, right, August 4th, report date, and we're rolling.
Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers, and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you know you could also shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com. Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, visit them at their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers. Recruiting rankings have been redone on 24/7 Sports. So, let me find my spot here. So, Arkansas obviously has 4 commitments in the class: J.J. Andrews, Abdu Toure, Jordan Smith Jr., and Mika Murinen. Now, it's the second-ranked class overall. I'm not sure if Duke got a new commitment. They're listed at 5 now, so maybe they got a new commitment, or if the rankings changed things up. But really, Arkansas, like, all their guys moved up. Now, Mika Murinen was the number 15-ranked prospect in last year's class, so he's an international guy, so he doesn't count for these high school rankings. He's still a 5-star recruit, but he's just not ranked in the actual rankings. So, J.J. Andrews is sitting at number 12. He actually fell one spot. He was at 11. But if you go back a year ago to 523, he was the number 42 ranked prospect in the country. He was as high as 43 on 521, actually. So he's moved up quite a bit. He's all the way up to number 12. The last year has made significant jump. The biggest jump in this latest ranking was Abdou Toure, and I agree with it. I mean, you go watch some of Abdou Toure's highlights. This guy can hit his head on the rim. His shot has improved dramatically. He moved from number 27th on 5'6 to 15th on 5'14 today. He's 15th in the country now. So Arkansas effectively now has the number 2, because Jordan Smith didn't move at all. Jordan Smith, not long ago, was number 6, so he's moved up also. Number 2, number 12, and number 15th ranked players in the country, plus the number 15th ranked player from the previous year in Mika Murinen. So pretty cool stuff with Arkansas. And of course, they got Jeremiah Wilkinson and Cooper Bowser committed, and need to find out something on Malik Thomas and Malik Ewan too. I mean, is Malik Ewan a possibility to come back at this point? But Malik Thomas, Billy Richmond, and, you know, obviously you're waiting on some waiver stuff. The guy from Florida, is he a possibility? Is Malik Ewan a possibility with his waiver? So, you know, still some things to figure out there. As far as other sports right now, you've got Arkansas women finished 3rd at the Louisville Regional. Auburn won the regional. Houston was 2nd, and Arkansas was 3rd. So Arkansas will advance. I believe they take the top 6 teams to the next and final round. The highest finishing Razorback was Maria Jose Martin, finishing tied for 9th. And you also had – there was one more Razorback that finished really good. Sarah Brechenef finished 20th. So Arkansas finishing 3rd overall, good finish. They'll continue on from here. The NCAA Division I Women's Golf Championship is at Omni La Costa Resort and Spa in Carlsbad, California. That's May 22nd through 27th. So a little bit of time to get there. The men haven't started their regional yet. The men are the number 1 seed, the Corvallis Regional, scheduled for May 18th through 20th. That's a Monday through Wednesday at the Trysting Tree Golf Club in Corvallis. This is hosted by Oregon State. So these are 54 holes, 18 holes a day. Top five teams, not top 6. So top 5 teams will advance in men's and women. But Arkansas is the 1 seed there. What else we got? We talked a little bit about Ryan Silverfield. You know, he discussed the quarterback battle. You know, some of the things that he's asking from the guys, some of the things that they've learned so far. One of the things that Connor Goodson was there for us in Little Rock, and one of the things I asked Connor to ask Silverfield was about uniforms. We've had a lot of people on our message board, the Razor's Edge, ask about uniforms. And basically, like, there may be some you know, alternate jersey thrown in or something, but basically they're going to stick with the uniforms that they've had since 2018, the home uniforms they've had since 2018, the away uniforms they've had those since 2019. Back in 2018, it was a year that they could do an alternate jersey. They ended up doing the McFadden-era jerseys for the home uniform, but could only do one alternate jersey with their contract with Nike. So the next year, when it was time to update uniforms, they added in the away uniform also. So basically since 2018 or 2019, however you look at it, they've been in these McFadden-era jerseys. This is after, ever since they've been in the SEC, they have changed uniforms every 2 years. You can go back to 1992 and look at it. Every 2 years, the uniform changes until 2018, and they have been the same ever since. Maybe it's time to mix it up. They haven't really done McFadden a lot of justice. I mean, Arkansas football has been an atrocity since finishing number 5 in the country in 2011, 15 seasons ago. It's been, like, aside from a blip in 2015 and 2021, aside from a blip on those two seasons, you know, Arkansas hadn't done better than 7 wins in a season. Just disappointing how Arkansas football has been. There's, you know, a lot of talk also about revenue and stuff and where Arkansas ranks. I am told that revenue is up in terms of donations and stuff, especially for football. Obviously, we know about, you know, they want to raise $30 million over the next 3 years and things that they've done. So it should be boosted in 2026, but Does Arkansas have enough? I think that Ryan Silverfield will exhaust every avenue to, based on what I've seen from him over the last 6 months, I think he'll exhaust every avenue to get the football program where it needs to be. The question is there enough on those avenues for him to draw from, you know, to build? And we're going to find out, obviously, soon. You know, Silverfield doesn't say a whole lot in his interviews. Like, you know, Bielema, we would always get all kinds of wild clips, you know, borderline erotic, hop on the wife, you know, all that kind of stuff. Bijan Jackson's got a big ass. we're not going to get that kind of stuff from Silverfield. He's a little more coach speak, you know, he doesn't say a whole lot, but, you know, in this day and age when they break down everything you say, I guess you can't blame him too much, but not going to get a whole lot of one-liners from Silverfield. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a good coach, but not going to get a lot of one-liners. Okay. We're going to hop over to Kevin Bohannon now, talk a little bit baseball. K-Bo joins us and is, I mean, he's been our main baseball guy for, how long you been with us, Kevin?
Year and a half now.
Year and a half, yeah.
Yep.
Well, we certainly appreciate all your insight that you've delivered with us. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Kevin, you can read all of his content at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com, 50% off right now. Or you can visit him at K-Bo Baseball Guru on X, and he'll link all his stuff there, and you can follow it there. So, right. Kevin, what is DBH saying about, you know, how the offense has been the second half of SEC play, and what to you has been the biggest difference for them?
Yeah. The biggest thing is they went into the Alabama series at 5-7, swept Alabama, and they're 10-5 since they went into that weekend. And the biggest thing is that they're getting hits at the right time. And you always talk about situational hitting and getting guys on base and actually driving those guys in. This was not going to be a home run hitting team. They've hit home runs over the last 2 weeks. I think they have 16 in their last five games. They scored, you know, 32 or 34 runs last week against Oklahoma, 12, 12, and 10. Obviously, the 10 did not get the win. But they're able to drive them in because guys like TJ Pompey and Cujillo Aloy have really come on of late. Cujillo Aloy is using all parts of the field. He's able to let the ball travel, get deep in the zone, and they've pushed the right buttons. You know, Carter Rutenbach kind of hit a skid. They dropped him in the lineup to be that kind of second leadoff out of the nine hole. They moved Damian Ruiz up in the lineup. And I think they have a good power hitting cleanup guy in Cujillo Aloy. So the lineup has less holes in it. So the top four, you know, that's usually your strong part. The pitcher gets through that, and then he's breezing through the rest of the lineup. So now they're a little bit more balanced in the lineup. They're running when the pitcher allows them to. They get a righty that's slow to the plate, they're going to run. They get in scoring position, hit behind the runner. That's a big thing. There's been a lot of instances this season to where they get a guy on base and they just leave them there. Second, third, one out, they can't get nobody in. But you've seen guys be selfless instead of selfish over the past couple of weeks that have resulted in wins over Oklahoma and Ole Miss. That puts Arkansas, you know, whether they host or not, it's not I could care less. And I know the guys could too. Yeah, you want to be at home, sleep in your own bed. But baseball is baseball. You're going to go out there and compete no matter what. So it gives them good momentum going into the last part of the regular season and into the postseason.
Hunter Dietz is having an all-SEC type of season. Where do you think he ranks as far as pitchers go under DBH?
Yeah, and you, there's been a lot of good ones. And, you know, going back, you know, to 2003 and looking back what Jay Sawatsky did for that 04 club against Florida State in the Super Regionals. Sawatsky is a Little Rock product out of Pulaski Academy. And then, you know, go to Drew Smiley, Dallas Keuchel, Jess Todd, Nick Schmidt was SEC Pitcher of the Year. Then you get into, like, Drew Smiley, Trevor Stephan, Blaine Knight, Isaiah Campbell. The list goes on and on. But Dietz leads the SEC in strikeouts right now. He is right outside the top 10 for strikeouts in a season. He's got 108 right now. Six more will put him in a tie with Drew Smiley at 114. He's had eight quality starts this year. Arkansas has won their last five SEC openers. Is there a coincidence that Dietz has been the starter in all five of those? Not at all. He's that guy. He's the ace of the staff. He's the one that they can rely on right now. So, they're going to go into Kentucky thinking, okay, win with Deets, and then let's split one of the next two. That gives us a series win. That's the goal. Obviously, they have trouble sweeping because they have TBA for game three in terms of a starting pitcher. They actually have it for game two, but there is a plan. They'll put Gabe Gackle there. But he's tied for double-digit strikeouts. He's tied for eighth in a season right now. One more will put him in a tie for sixth with David Walling, who was in the 98 class, Trevor Stephan out of the 2017 class. So I say he's a top 10 guy as far as, you know, putting up against all those other guys. Tell you what, Trey, if he would have got to do this last year, injuries really derailed the first two seasons of his career, he would be a top five pick this year. And coming off of an all-SEC type year, having 100 strikeouts, and then he could replicate, kind of do not the Hagen Smith level to where he had 161 punch outs his junior year, but he could come into this year with 130, 135 and been a top five pick. He's going to be a first-round draft pick, signed for $3.5 million. So he's having the type of year he needed to have.
So, Kevin, there's obviously a lot of work to be done, but with Kentucky coming up, we'll talk about that in a minute. But the great unknown, like, is where will Arkansas play in a regional? And do you think that the NCAA selection committee could break away from the RPI as kind of the guiding factor?
Yeah, they didn't with the softball seeding. If you the 64 Analytics did a correlation graph, and they did the line and the RPI correlation to where the seeding was, and it was like almost to a T where they got seated. So you'd like to think that they, you know, incorporate a couple of things, and they have. They're using more analytics. They don't look any at rankings. They use a KPI and then a DRS that was implemented by D1 Baseball, and Arkansas has really good numbers in those. Their KPI, I believe, is like 15, and then they're like 20 in the DRS. So they're a little higher than what their RPI is right now, which is 26. You know, Arkansas, SEC's really never had a host that's been higher than a 19. So they really need to get to that spot if they want to host. A lot of teams that have been picked to host, one of them is USC, Southern Cal. They're 0-8 against quad one teams, 0-8. And there's a lot of, you know, uproar right now about how can you pick a team that has zero quad one wins in the Big Ten against somebody like Ole Miss, who has 15, and has an RPI of 13. So there's a few more, you know, irons in the fire of what they'll have to look at. It'll be really interesting to see what they do in terms of, you know, the at-large teams. You know, what's the highest RPI that they let in this year, and who's the highest host out of those 16 seeds?
Kevin Bohannon joining us. Again, you can follow him at KBO Baseball Guru on X, and he's joining us on the Ozarks Go hotline, which is fast, reliable, consistent internet service from a local company. You can reach out to them at 479-684-4900 or go to ozarksgo.net/hog, H-A-W-G. I've been a customer of theirs for like 5 years, and they've never let me down. So very, very satisfied with our friends at Ozarks Go. Kentucky. So the series starts in Lexington today. It's Thursday for those listening. 5:30 on SEC Network Plus. All these games are SEC Network Plus. 5:30 again on Friday, and then 1:00 on Saturday, May 16th. And that wraps up the regular season. What do we know about the Wildcats, Cabo?
Scrappy team. I've known Coach Mangione since he got to Kentucky. He recruited a few of my players that were playing under me. He had three commits at the time. Marcus Brown ended up at Oklahoma State. He's with the Harrisburg Senators right now in the Washington Nationals organization. Luke Pechtel out of Plaski. Joe T. Robinson ended up at Little Rock. And then Houston King from Cabot ended up at Ball State. But Coach Minge has always had a scrappy team. They've got a pitching staff where they've got a couple of guys, Jackson Jelkin, who will throw on Saturday. Threw 127, 129 pitches last week. He's a fifth-year senior, 8-2 on the season, 92 strikeouts, 17 walks. He's going to pitch as long as he wants to because this is it for him. He's not going to go play pro ball. He's just going to let it go for the Wildcats in his last year. But Ben Cleaver is a crafty lefty. He's going to throw in the upper 80s, has one of those tight, slow curveballs that makes that fastball play up a little bit. He's going to throw on Friday, and then Nate Harris is going to throw on today, Thursday. So I think Arkansas has a really good shot to get the win. It's not a really power team like Kentucky has had in the past. Usually they're hitting, you know, 100 home runs a year. They've only got 49 this season. They do have a really good shortstop that's going to be a first-round draft pick. Jace Tarnish is hitting 356. Luke Lawrence, 341. It's a good hitting team. They're going to steal bases when they want to, when they need to. They've got 115 stolen bases, so they're going to do some opportunistic baseball against the Razorbacks. Got to play good, sound defense, make sure they don't take advantage of those extra bases.
Great stuff as always, Cabo. Appreciate you, bud.
You bet. Thanks, Trey.
All right, everybody. Kevin Bohannon, follow him at Cabo Baseball Guru on X. And read all of his content at Hog Sports. You guys know how much I value long-standing relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owner's insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto owner's insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance, coverage you need, people you trust. We're going to go to Danny West because we need to find out what's going on when recruiting. Got to get some recruits up here, Danny. How you doing, brother?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. So, Danny, obviously we're in the May evaluation, well, the spring evaluation period, whatever you want to call it. So coaches are out on the road, but there's plenty of other stuff going on with recruiting coming up and visitors and stuff starting to schedule stuff.
Yeah, it's picking up, as you said there. Had a big domino just fail within the last hour here, Trey. I'm going to jump right into it. I hope you don't mind. Peter Bork, quarterback, number 80 overall recruit in the country, number 7 quarterback in the country, just committed to Virginia Tech. So not Michigan, not Georgia, not Penn State, Biddy. It's Virginia Tech, James Franklin, and the Hokies is the pick.
Danny, you got everybody's hope up for a while talking about the 80th quarterback in the country committed to Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I don't know how many people have been expecting Arkansas for that one, but
yeah,
it's an important domino because you think about Georgia, Colton Nussmeier. Arkansas is very involved for the 4-star Nussmeier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it comes down to who does Georgia get? You know, all of these things matter. So the domino that fell earlier is going to mean something for Georgia, whether or not they decide to even take a quarterback. I'm hearing maybe that's a possibility. They don't even make a move for a 2027. Maybe they do make a push for Colton Nussmeier. And if so, buddy, I mean, it's apples and oranges at the moment. You start thinking about Arkansas versus Georgia for, you know, a straight up competition for a quarterback. That's probably not going to go well for you. But I'm also told, Nussmeier might be the kind of kid that wants to blaze his own trail a little bit. Obviously, the last name carries a lot of weight. Several family members of note there, but 4-star talented kid. He's told me, at the very least, Arkansas is going to get an official visit out of him at some point here in the next few weeks. So we'll see on that date, but then throw another one at you, Biddy. Cain Price tomorrow will be seen by the Razorbacks. It's a kid out of Stuttgart, Arkansas. He's going to have the Hogs in town to watch him throw tomorrow. He's been on a little bit of a run here lately with Memphis came in and offered, Southern Miss, Arkansas State. So pretty good little run. We'll see what happens with Cain tomorrow.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Bet Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Bet Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Bet Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident it's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Bet Saracen.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, Danny, but I can't get the camera up and working, so we're just using the
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
The MacBook. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else going on in recruiting, Danny?
Yes. I was trying to work my way through that quarterback situation, but don't want to mislead anybody. I don't know yet what Colton Nussmeier is going to do. Obviously, he's the four-star, so that's who everybody gets excited about. But a lot of it will depend on what Georgia decides to do is my point there. But you know, it's middle of May and we're unsettled at quarterback. That's a story by itself. You know, back in the day, you wouldn't see that too often. But now with the transfer and everything that goes on, maybe you don't worry about it too much. And that's probably where Georgia finds itself at the moment. But until that's settled and we, you know, find out what Georgia is going to do, it's tough to really predict yet on Arkansas's end. But outside of that, man, you hit on it. Coach has been on the road a little bit. We got contact period through the 23rd, so about, was that, 9 more days or something like that. Larry Smith has been out. We know he saw a couple of their priority wide receiver targets. That's Ashton Stark down in Louisiana, as well as Brody Knowles out of South Lake Carroll down in Texas. Both of those guys have official visits coming up with Arkansas. Darion Mosley, new wide receiver commit out of Alabama, Thompson High School, committed 12 days ago. He's had Coach Smith in, a few days ago, forget which day. Lawrence Britt, another four-star wide receiver out of Memphis. That's one they're going after. They've been in to see him, as well as Alvin Mosley, another four-star out of Fort Bend Crawford down in Texas. So a lot of coaches bouncing around. David Johnson been out. He's been to Frisco High, Wiley High. He saw Cam Grady and Aiden Williams down in Texas. I forget which high school. I want to say Sotomayor. I hope I'm saying that right. Brajan Melancon, 2027 corner out of Rosedale, Louisiana. Biddy, they've been in to see him. And then I hit on Kane Price. He'll be out to Stuttgart tomorrow to check out Kane.
Danny West joining us. So just to be clear, because we got some comments, it was not Ozarks Go. It is this dongle for some reason, because my mic and my camera is plugged into it and it's not working. So one of those two. Ozarks Go still lives. All right, Danny, anything else to add?
No, man. Okay. I think that's pretty much it. I'm trying to skim through my notes here. Aiden Starling, that's a notable name. Just set up an official for May 29th, as well as is that Logan DeBose? I may have written that down wrong, but a couple of new official visitors there. You can check out the rest on Hog Sports. But starting to pick up a little bit, Betty. It's coming. It's just around the corner for us now.
All right, Danny. All right, everybody. Follow Danny at Danny West 24/7 on X and read all of his content at hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. Appreciate you, bud.
Yes, sir. See you.
All right, everybody. We're going to get to some questions now here. Very strange result with that happening, but we got the computer going here, so get to a couple questions. All right, this is from Natural State Sports. To flip what you did earlier this week, what's the worst moment of each Arkansas coach during the 21st century, Nutt's years in the 90s? That was Connor's story. Connor did a breakdown of like how everybody started out their first year as a coach since Frank Broyles.
very mixed. You know, some guys had great seasons, some guys didn't. Lou Holtz went 11-1, for example. Hatfield went 7-4-1. Frank Broyles, I think, won 5 games his first year. So the worst moments for each coach. Let's go backwards. So for Sam Pittman, the worst moment may have been something that didn't happen to him, that Auburn loss. You know, that was very unfortunate, that first year when they basically beat Auburn and it was stolen away from the referees. Worst thing that Pittman did, there's just a lot of in-game stuff. I'm always like, go for it. You're on the road, go for two, but not getting that at Ole Miss that year. But that was his call, you know, to go for two. And it's easy to go back and say, like, you know, that doesn't work out. You know, it's a bad decision. But I was in favor of that decision at the time. See, Chad Morris, there's too many to count. There was losing to Colorado State, his second game was probably up there. Losing to Colorado State, that kind of was a tone setter for the program. And Arkansas never really recovered. Brett Bielema losing to Virginia Tech and Missouri the way he did at the end of the 2016 season. That kind of started things in a spiral where, you know, like, well, losing to Toledo also for Bielema. I mean, that team could have easily won 10 games. It could have been a 10-win team. You know, they missed that. They had that field goal block, which Cole Hedlund seemed to have half of his field goal tries blocked. They had that field goal blocked. That was a big one. Losing that against Mississippi State, losing that Toledo game, could have been a 10-win season. Of course, that's also the year that they had the miracle play, the Hunter Henry heave. So maybe it goes both ways. But still, if they'd have won, you know, 9 or 10 that year and he wins, you know, 8 or 9 the next year, which would have happened had they not lost to Virginia Tech and Missouri having those huge second-half comebacks and back-to-back games, then he probably would have survived the next year. Going before Bielema, Petrino, obviously the motorcycle wreck was the worst thing that happened with Petrino. That was a big one. John L. Smith, the worst thing that happened with him. Let's see, losing that Louisiana Monroe game. Of course, they lost their starting quarterback in that one, but losing the Louisiana Monroe game was obviously critical to that season. The team just completely kind of let go of the rope after that. Got their doors blown off against Alabama the next weekend, so on and so forth. I kind of went out of order there with John L., but Petrino. And then with Houston Nutt, the worst thing that Houston did, hiring Gus Malzahn. I've made that point several times about, you know, the path that, you know, the chain of events that were set in motion from Arkansas hiring Gus Malzahn, bringing in the Springdale Five when they probably should have just let it go. But the fans were pretty frustrated at that point. Arkansas had a couple of losing seasons, a couple 4-win seasons back to back, and he was on the hot seat. And, you know, if the Springdale Five had never come to Arkansas and Gus Malzahn had never come to Arkansas, maybe they don't have the wild hog formation, the wildcat, but they still had Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, Peyton Hillis. They still had a good defense, good offensive line. They still had a team that was going to, you know, keep Nutt where he was and possibly still win 10 games. Maybe they don't have the late season collapse that they had with Malzahn. So that was probably the worst thing under Nutt. With Danny Ford, the SMU losses with Danny Ford, Jack Crow obviously was Jack Crow. I'm not sure. I don't really remember Joe Kynes. He was in a difficult situation. But Jack Crow obviously losing to the Citadel. So Ken Hatfield going to Clemson, just period. That's about as far back as I can remember, guys. Biddy, did you know Onogo was developing some crazy game where you go back in time and fight Adam with guns? What? Army? It's a first-person shooter. Dr. Scotty Mack says, if Coach Cal and the team were not confident about the portal strategy building Final Four team with a five, would you be able to tell? I'm not sure what you're saying. If Coach Cal and the team were not confident about their portal strategy and building a Final Four team – with a five, would you be able to tell? Not sure what you're asking. Biddy, did you put on a parka on your monkey when it's cold? I've never had a parka. Raw Hog says, where do you predict our football recruiting will be ranked in Silverville's first year of recruiting? Right now, the last I looked, they were like 25th or 26th or something. They don't get more four-star recruits. They're not going to be inside the top 40 probably when it's all said and done. But I'm not so sure that Razorback high school football recruiting in terms of elite athletes is as important unless you're talking about running back, quarterback, cornerback. You know, for a lot of these positions, like developing offensive line out of the high school ranks, guys that are super highly regarded, and Razorback and NYC will tell you this much from his analytics, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense to go out and get a five-star offensive lineman who, you know, isn't going to contribute for a year or two. You know, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Better to recruit guys who are, you know, been in college for a year or two, get them out of the transfer portal, get a mix of, you know, older guys who are seniors and guys who are redshirt freshmen and sophomores and develop from there, in my opinion. Razorback from KC said, why would Hunter cut the tennis program before attempting to fundraise? I think he probably did, but he's also busy fundraising for football. Like, he's not going to go out and be like, hey, guys, we got to get some fundraising for tennis. He's just not going to do that. They need money for football. He's got, on his own, he's supposed to generate $5 million extra in revenue. That's on him to do that. And that Tyson stuff with the patches, that doesn't go towards that, you know. So he's got to figure out other ways. You know, they have that $15 million resolution, which is now more of like a $13.4 million resolution. And that's on him. So going out and trying to fundraise for tennis just – That wasn't in his bag of things to do. All right, we're going to wrap the show up. Obviously, we've had some camera issues. I wonder if anything got fixed with the camera. I've never had that. It just completely, and I guess it's my dongle here, which I've had trouble with this thing before. I'll show you guys what this is. It's this device right here, and it plugs everything in to my Mac, but it is... The light is blue, so I don't know. The last one I had went out, but it went out when I wasn't live on air. So maybe I just got a piece of crap dongle. All right, everybody, appreciate you joining me here today. Thanks, Danny West, for hopping on, Kevin Bohannon as well. And we'll be back with you guys on Monday. It's been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.